paying any attention.
No, I wasn't.
I don't think your manager would appreciate it.
I don't appreciate your ruse, ma'am.
I beg your pardon?
Your ruse, your cunning attempt to trick me.
I was only pointing out that you weren't paying any attention to what I was saying.
I hope it feels good.
You hope what feels good?
I hope it feels so good to be right. There's nothing more exhilarating than pointing out the shortcomings of others, is there?
Well, this is the last time I rent here.
You'll be missed.
Screw you!
Hey, you're not allowed to rent here anymore.
Yeah!
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time it is. Hello, how are you? My name is Will Koontz. I am the host of this here program, the Homemade Broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, where you may be listening. Maybe it's 6:15 Sunday. You're just lounging out, recovering from the weekend. Hey, let's see what old Billy Boy is doing. We'll tune into RadioSt.Pete.com and hear him. So if you're listening to me there or hearing me there, welcome to the show. Thank you very much, as always. Or maybe you're listening on iTunes, if you haven't subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher. Please do so just by going to either one of those applications on your telephone or your computer or whatever you're using, whatever device. Search for The Homemade Broadcast. Homemade, one word, and you'll be able to find it just fine on those devices. What else? What else can you do? Oh, you want to get in contact with the show? Well, you're in luck, because I have ways to do that. You could call us and leave a voicemail. I'm not going to answer, and nobody's going to answer, but you can leave a voicemail. If you call 813-693-2124, you can leave a funny voicemail for us, or whatever, questions, concerns, whatever. Or you can reach me by email at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Good. So how are you? I'm well. We got Justin Cupo. He's a comedian. He'll be performing with us on July 17th at Sly Bar for our Hot, Wet American Stand-Up Comedy Showcase. That is at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. It's free, absolutely free. We hope you can make it and join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk a minute. Those people, those of you maybe that are listening, that post political memes that you find on Facebook, on some pages that you subscribe to, why do you do that, number one? My unsolicited advice, don't do it. You are not going to make any headway with anyone. You're not going to change anybody's mind by some silly meme you found on a Facebook page. The only thing you're going to succeed in doing is people who already agree with you are going to give you that thumbs up like on your Facebook posting, reposting. Or somebody that you may have one time respected and liked isn't going to think so highly of you anymore. There is nothing to be gained from sharing your politics on Facebook or Twitter. I mean, that's what Twitter's for. Go get a Twitter. I was going to say or Twitter, but no, go ahead. Go nuts on Twitter. That's what that's for. I guess I say this because there's full of these. I see them every day now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's because it's getting closer to election season, or I don't know. I think people are just, I guess that's what it is. That's my educated guess as to why this is happening more and more. Excuse me. I saw a friend of mine post one. Like, do you know how infuriating it is for me to have to defend Jeb Bush? It rips my heart out having to do this. I don't want to do it. But I see these things that are just like these. Well, let me see if I can find. That's what I should do. Let's pull it up. Jeb Bush meme. I bet you it'll pop right up. Let's see. Maybe. Maybe not. Come on. Internet. There we go. Jeb Bush meme generator. No, Jeb Bush, no, your meme. Okay, five things you should know about Jeb Bush, right? Just Googled it, and a Snopes thing came up. Not that Snopes is necessarily the most trustworthy website, but that's one that people use. Five things you should know. Appointed a guardian for the fetus of a rape survivor. Okay, so appointed from the guardian. Check, this checked out. The statement stemmed from a 2003 case involving a 22-year-old severely developmentally disabled woman who had been living in a state-supervised facility for most of her life. She had become pregnant after being raped while living in a group home and had no family to make decisions on her behalf. So while this is true, yes, that's true. There's a reason why, because she was slow. I don't know. I don't want to say the R word because you can't say that anymore either. This is just an example. So yes, while you're right, these things that you're finding on the internet are half truths. There are things omitted. Just do your research. You have the internet at your fingertips. You're finding this on the internet, so look it up. It's all right there. I don't know what you're doing. It's just like I don't know, man. You got to stop this nonsense. This politics stuff is going to tear us apart. Can't we just use Facebook for what it was meant for? Just, I want to see pictures of your cat. Just please send me pictures of your cat or dog, and that's what all it should be for. Not kids. I don't really care about your kid. I don't want to see anything with kids. But for your furry animals, I'm all in on that, so please do that. But, you know, and this is just an example. Like, it pains me to have to defend Jeb Bush. I don't really particularly agree with Jeb Bush's politics, you know, but he's in the race, so, you know, people are going to put these things up, and they're all these half-truths that are going along. Just research. Don't do it at all. Don't post anything political on Facebook. Nothing. But if you're going to do it, which I know some of you still will do, fact-check. Fact-check yourself. It's so easy to do. You don't even have to go to the library anymore and pull out these articles. I don't even remember what they're called now, but I remember it used to be old newspapers on film that you would go into the library and you could use that machine and you'd have to like look into it like a microscope and fact-check yourself that way. It's all at your fingertips. There are billions, if not trillions, of things on the internet that could help you in making these decisions. But, nobody will. And everyone will just continue to contributing to the idiocracy of society. It's happening. And everyone makes that joke about that movie that Mike Judge did brilliantly. But, man, it is very true. And it is scary. Anyways, so don't do that. But you should come to the open mic on July 14th, Tuesday, at Sly Bar. Still, Sly Bar's just knocking them down with these comedy events, man. They're really doing this thing, putting some effort behind it. So we'll have a $50 cash prize, $10 cash prize, courtesy of Lando, the bartender, my good pal now. Me and Lando went and had a beer together. Just like a couple of pals, not colleagues, just some pals hanging out. So he's going to dip into his tip jar, pull out $10 for the second place winner. And he's also going to buy the third place winner a beverage. A beer of their choice. So come out this Tuesday, July 14th, 2015, 2061 Central Avenue. We'll also have free pizza courtesy of Angelo's Bar and Grill. Love those people over there. Very good. Thank you, guys. And then Friday, a few days later, we got the showcase featuring my man Justin Kupo is going to be in here shortly in the next few minutes. Rajel, Nora Nagatani, Matt Fernandez and Kyle Roos, the heavy hitters, the bearded boys, the little angel bearded boys of St. Petersburg. Love those guys. I love all these comedians. They're a really good group. So I hope you can join us. I think the show's going to start at 9 p.m. And just check out facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. Subscribe to the event page. That way you can keep up with all things St. Pete Comedy. And like the Facebook page, too, while you're at it. Why not? Throw me a like, you know? Creative Loafing Best of the Bay is they're opening up nominations for things, Best of the Bays. So, and they have new categories this year, including Best Online Radio Show and Podcast. So I encourage you to please nominate The Homemade Broadcast and Radio St. Pete, respectively, for either one of those things, and we thank you very much. I'm going to put up a link to the Radio St. Pete Facebook and the Homemade Broadcast Facebook. So if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes out of your day and nominating the Homemade Broadcast, I'd be very, very grateful to you and appreciate the support. So this podcast is brought to you by, guess what, Sly Bar. Find out why Sly Bar has been named one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. Great beer, good folks. Joe and Lauren down there rocking it, rolling it with all these events and cool things they're doing. You can check them out at facebook.com/SlyBarSt. And they are located at 2061 Central Avenue. Go grab a beer, even when there's not comedy going on, and just say hello to those people. And Angelo's Bar and Grill, some of the best pizza in St. Petersburg, bar none. Enough said. I tell them to send me a copy. They never send me anything to read. So just go see those people. 536 First Avenue North, right here in St. Petersburg. Grab a slice. Enjoy yourself. They have a bunch of good stuff. They even have a bar. You can go sit down in there and drink and then get hammered. And this way, instead of at 3 o'clock, you won't have to walk to Angelo's. You already be at Angelo's. So then you can just stuff your face with one entire pizza and enjoy life. Enjoy the few years that you have left before you have a heart attack and die. No, you won't do that. You have too much to live for. So 536 First Avenue North, saintpizza.com is their website. Go say hello to Angelo. So we got Justin Cupo coming in, I guess, right now. I love this push pause thing, and then we're just back. So please hold, and we will be right back with comedian Justin Cupo. All right, Justin Cupo, what's up, man?
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. I went on a little tirade before you got here.
Yeah.
About people posting political stuff on Facebook.
Oh God, that's what Facebook's for, though, isn't it?
That's what Twitter's for, I think. Do anything you want on Twitter. Keep the politics off Facebook.
Well, everybody's grandmother cares what they have to say about it, right?
Yeah, my grandmother has one, but Facebook, that is.
Yeah, I found out my grandmother has one, like, not too long ago, and it was really weird.
She asked me, she doesn't know how to use it, though. So the thing with her is she asked me to help her use it, and I was just like, no. Right. I don't want you to know how. So I just never did that.
I don't need you poking me, Grandma.
Yeah, it's weird. Nobody poked. Can you even poke anymore?
I don't know. That feels like it was just like a fad.
That was just like to flirt with girls that you liked without having to actually talk to them.
Socially awkward.
I liked
social
it.
Social networker.
Yes. That's what social networking's for the socially awkward. You don't want to go out and talk to people, but still want to find a way to communicate somehow.
I wouldn't have gotten any dates in high school the other way.
Is that how old are you, man? 23, still a young guy. When did you start doing comedy?
I think we're coming up on a year now.
Okay, so still pretty new?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, where did you first do it? Where was your first open mic?
I went out and watched one at Bula one week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess, you know, it's a common thing to do. And then I went out to Dunedin Brewery.
John J. Murray's, yeah?
Yeah, and I think I did all right there. It was weird.
Wasn't a disaster. The first one's usually always really, like, everyone has a horror story for it.
I mean, like, in my mind, it was a disaster. And, like, if I read this set that I did, I know it was a disaster. But I got a few laughs, like, looking back on it, because I heard it not too long ago. And I was like, wow, they were actually laughing at some of that.
Pretty good, yeah.
Enough to inspire confidence, I guess.
Yours is kind of, your style is more, I consider you more like a Dimitri Martin kind of Mitch Hedberg. Like, you're like a one-liner, just joke writer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty, you know, just like set up punch, that kind of you know, one sentence usually, you know, one or two sentences.
Yeah.
I tried in the beginning. I was like, I thought I was going to write longer bits and be the angry, you know, storyteller comedian.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this is too much work. Like, to be, like, consistently funny like that and not come off as being, you know. So I just started writing, like, some one-liners, and I was like, I guess this could be my thing, because that's always been my favorite style of comedy anyways.
Right. Who did you kind of look up to when you were growing up?
Stephen Wright.
Yeah, he's a good one, man.
I saw his special when I was, like, 14, and, like, up till then I'd only seen, like, blue-collar comedy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. When Comedy Central actually showed comedy.
That was great. You remember the Friday night stand-up? They'd have, like, an entire block, like, premium run and everything? That's what.
Dude, I remember, I'm 30, so I remember.
You're 30?
Yeah, no.
Jesus.
I know. I remember when Comedy Central first came around and my grandmother bought the package so we could get Comedy Central, and they showed, like, nothing but stand-up comedy. Glory. That's all they had. Yeah. I mean, it was, and then they had, like, Dr. Katz. You ever see Dr. Katz?
Yeah, Dr. Katz was real good.
Yeah, it was a great show. But now Comedy Central, I don't even watch Comedy Central. And
it's too many scripted shows. I mean, I feel like they're giving, like, every, like, hot comedian their own show, which, I mean, I guess is good, but.
Yeah, I think probably Dave Chappelle's success.
Yeah, I can see that. Because they're all, like, sketch shows for the most part.
Yeah, you got Schumer's, you got Key and Peele. Which one's which? Key is the bald guy.
Yeah, okay. He's the tall one.
It's hard for me to take that guy seriously because he used to host this show on Animal Planet. Where
really?
It was like America's Funniest Home Videos, but it was just with animals. And he played like that same corny, like Bob Saget-y on America's Funniest Home Videos, but he was just so cheesy and corny.
That's crazy.
So whenever I see that guy, I'm like, oh, God, this guy. But then I've seen some skits of theirs and they're hilarious.
The production value is incredibly high on those. Mm-hmm. Like all their sketches are like little movies. Yep. And I mean, they commit to their parts. Yeah, I used to watch him on Mad TV, and that's where I still associate him with.
Oh, that's right. He was on there, too. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he was a crazy coach or whatever.
Yeah. I love that skit. My favorite Key and Peele skit, which is, like, only ones I ever heard, was the one with the names, where it's the inner-city teacher that goes to the white school.
A.A. Ron.
That's so good.
Oh, that was great.
I don't think I've actually seen an episode, though, of Key and Peele.
I'd recommend it.
I'll check it out. I don't have cable, so I'm kind of just relying.
YouTube is great for Key and Peele because they put just the individual sketches up.
Oh, really?
And usually the best ones are at the top. So if you want to start, it's probably a good place to start.
Comedy Central is pretty good about that. Like, they will put most of their stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, they're, I know they put, like, the entire episode on there, but it's just, like, individually.
I don't know if they used to do South Park, too. I don't know if they do that anymore, though.
I don't know.
I think South Park Studios, but I think you have to have Hulu now to do it. I don't have Hulu.
Oh,
I don't know how to download anything. Like, I never got those skills with the downloading stuff illegally thing. And I know it's easy. I just couldn't figure it out. I didn't want to learn.
You're set in your ways. I guess I can respect that.
Set in my ways. Now I don't like to download anything. But you can find, like, even on Reddit, you can just find streaming stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I watch, like, all TV. Like, I mean, you get better quality when you download it, but that's a hassle.
It is, yeah. And this way, you don't have to. I don't worry about getting a virus or something like that. It's just streamed. Although those websites that they stream on, you can probably get a virus.
Yeah.
They're all, like, with those .ru names, you're like, better not. Go to a Russian website.
There's like 400 pop-ups before you actually get to the video.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you just download pop-up blocker.
That's true. Yeah, ad blocker has saved my life.
Dude, I wouldn't want to be on the internet without ad blocker.
Oh, God. I can only imagine.
It would be a mess.
I imagine like porn pop-ups would come up on like Google.
Yeah. I remember those days before pop-up blocker.
Oh, my God.
Will, come downstairs. What did you do? I don't know. I don't know what that is. That's gross, though.
You're older than me. You remember when you had dial-up internet?
Oh, yeah.
And it would run nice and slow for you?
Yep.
And then a pop-up would come up, and that would take forever to load and just screw whatever else you were doing?
I do remember that very well.
That was the worst.
Yeah. I remember running dial-up and having Napster.
I think I was a little late for Napster.
It was the originator of this stealing stuff thing. So it would be like you would start a download of a song that you wanted to listen to. And then you would come back in about 8 hours, and then you could listen to that song as many times as you wanted.
Really?
Because it would take so long to download on the dial-up.
Oh, man.
It was so bad.
Yeah, I remember when I first got, like, the internet or whatever, we had dial-up, And it took me like 4 hours to download one song, and then the song was like horrible quality, and it was like buggy. I was like, are you kidding me with this?
Yeah. I remember those days well. My neighbor down the street got Roadrunner, and it was a game changer.
Right.
I was just like, please download this Seven Dust song for me that I want to listen to. And she did, and she made me mixtapes and everything. It was awesome.
And then I came back the next day with a list.
Yeah, oh yeah. So she would just take care of it for me. It only took her about an hour as opposed to 8 hours. So even the fast was not fast back then.
The moral of the story, kid, is love your technology.
Yes,
don't take it for granted.
Yep. That's right. So, Justin, you're a comedian. You've been doing comedy about a year. You're going to be on the showcase on the 17th at Sly Bar.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
I can tell you sound excited.
But it's a funny thing about me. I tell people I'm excited, and they're like, oh, yeah, you sound it. But this is, like, genuinely how excited I sound most times.
Dude, I hear you. I'm the same way. It's really hard to get me excited about anything. I'm looking forward to it, maybe not excited.
I mean, I'm nervous. There's, like, huge people on that show, and, you know.
There is. Yeah, we got some good ones. Matt Fernandez, Kyle Ruse, Rajel. And Nora Nagatani and yourself in this one.
It's going to be a real fun show.
It is.
The crowds are always good there, in my experience. You know, I've been going, there 4 or 5 times now?
Yeah.
And every time there's been a decent, even on rainy, stormy nights.
Yeah, it's been pretty steady now, which is awesome. Some days are better than others, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, I think I'm, like, safe now, because open mics come and go, which, knock on wood, open mics really come and go.
So, yeah, it's hard to, like, get a sustained one and, like, keep going.
Definitely. Bull has managed to do it. I've managed to do it so far. I think we're coming up on a year right now this open mic's been active. So I don't know what the lifespan of open mics are, but I feel like I've already exceeded.
Didn't Bull, like, have one and then they, like, restarted?
I'm not sure. I don't
remember something about that. See, I'm so new to the game that everything's a year old to me.
Yeah.
Right?
I think Bula, the only reason I even knew about Bula, frankly, was because Mike Fried, we did ours on a Thursday one night. We tried doing a live podcast and then doing the open mic. And Mike Fried wrote my friend Shannon, who was helping us with the open mic at the time, and was like, hey, don't do it on this night, pretty much. And then so we ended up, it just got settled on Tuesday. We didn't move it for that particular reason, but... Yeah, that's how I was like, oh, Bula, I didn't even know they were doing this.
Right.
But, yeah, they're really coming up, too, the Cabo Comedy thing. They got Jander involved.
Yeah, it seemed the crowd's like been growing there every week, too.
They've
been
really?
Doing, yeah, they've been doing, like, a lot of, you know, social networking and marketing. And
that's what you got to do.
It's paying off because you're saying, you know, you're seeing bigger crowds there, and everybody's really happy that they came. And
see, I like the Bula crowd's great because it's all potheads.
Yeah, they're
just
all
laugh at everything.
I know, right? And then they come up to you, dude, you were the best. That one joke, oh, so good. And then they'll just walk away and drink kava.
I could imagine you do pretty well at
Pula. Yeah.
But
those
cool,
are my
man.
People.
Yeah, definitely. Justin Kupo is joining us. Justin's a comedian, 23 years old, been doing it a year. What's your opinion of the scene so far down here? I know you don't really have anything to compare it to, but... what do you think could make the comedy scene better here?
I feel like if everybody can stick with it, like everybody that I see that's of my class, I guess you would call it, you know, people who are doing, they grow, you know, we're all getting a little bit better. And then if everybody can stick with it and, you know, fight it out and go up on stage and bomb and, you know, write new jokes and fix the jokes you have and just keep at it, you know, eventually we'll get a reputable name around here.
That's the thing. Tampa is a large metro area. It's it's in the top 15. I think it's 14.
Right.
We have a lot of population here, a lot of diversity here, which is great. There's every color and creed and gender that we have. I don't know if there's any trannies, but hopefully one day soon.
Oh, they're coming.
They're coming. They'll be here. That's why I always try to mix up the showcases. I like to have, obviously, white dudes because they're the majority.
Right.
But you got to have a lady in there. You got to have some minority in there.
Variety is the spice of life, right?
That's right. And I like that. I like that there's a lot of different voices here that you're able to hear. It's not just white males dominate comedy nationwide and worldwide, for that matter.
Yeah, go to New York and see what it's like.
Right. I mean, but that's also true. I mean, just we're high in numbers, so that's the way it's going to be. But it's good to see there are, you know, chicks out there that are doing it, and
The ones that I know that do it, they're good at it. You know, they can keep up with the boys, you know, as they say. And I feel with Amy Schumer, you know, growing and everything, I feel like females in comedy are getting more popular. They're getting to a point where people, you know, see them as equals, as horrible as it is to say. But, I mean, it's true. You know, a lot of people don't think women are funny, and I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Women can be funnier than men.
I saw Amy at Bonnaroo 2010, 11, and she was with Judah Friedlander and Marc Maron, and I thought she was the best out of all of them. Had the best material, the best stuff. And then shortly after that, she started blowing up. And you know she's made it because now she's getting attacked by the social justice warriors and journalists who are calling her a racist now, which is just hilarious to me. You made it when people are attacking you. And she's like the feminist comic, right? Like she's kind of the girl power type of rah-rah. She's not really, but that's what people have made her into in the media and stuff like that. She's not a crusader. She's a comic.
Yeah, she's just doing what she's doing and then connects with people and, you know, that rubs some people the wrong way.
Yeah. But so there was a group I was reading in the Washington Post. I think it was a Salon article. Salon is terrible. But I think Washington Post might have rerun it, or it might have been the Washington Post, which is crazy because they're more conservative magazine or paper. But they were calling her a racist and her jokes are racist. And it just blows my mind. It's losing all meaning. This calling someone, it doesn't even mean anything anymore.
Yeah, it's just like you throw it out there as soon as they say anything, you know. My car is black racist.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you even really know what that means?
No, and nobody does know what it means anymore. If someone says, I've never been called a racist really in serious terms or a sexist in serious terms. But I think my rebuttal would be, what does that mean to you? And I'll tell you if I am or not. Because a joke is a joke. It's supposed to bring this visceral reaction out of you. It's supposed to... most of the time, jokes aren't even funny, generally.
No,
you don't laugh because they're funny.
It's just the way it hits you in the gut.
Right.
You know it's...
Yeah, and that's what... Funny is watching somebody fall down. If someone actually slipped on a banana peel, that is the pinnacle of comedy, if that could actually happen. Watching somebody fall on a banana peel is the funniest thing in the world. Or a fart.
Yeah, I was watching like some video from like 1910 or like the turn of the century when they first started making movies and silent movies, and people were slipping on banana peels, and that was high entertainment back.
It's the best. I mean, it really is the pinnacle. They reached the pinnacle of comedy then. So it's all been downhill from there. To me, it's more pointing out hypocrisy is what's really funny, or what people gauge as funny.
Well, the most revered comedians are the ones that do that the best, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a Carlin and Pryor and them. They're gods in the comedy, but that's what they did. They just pointed out hypocrisies.
Yeah, and, you know, there's new Bill Burr's really good at it now.
Yeah, I feel like Bill Burr is like the torchbearer for that, you know, that...
He is, and he got in some trouble, too, because he said something in Australia about giving Aborigines casinos. And it was funny, you know, but then he got called a racist because, you know, it was a joke. And he was all upset, too, on his podcast because he went on, he called somebody retarded because there was some drunk.
Oh, yeah, was that today? I thought I was listening to that.
It was last week.
Oh, yeah, I was listening to that one.
And somebody came up to him and said, you know, my child is mentally challenged, and it really hurts us when people say that word. But then he pointed out that, well, you were laughing at, you know, a lot of other stuff that people would find offensive. So just because it bothers you and it offends you, that's when it becomes an issue. And I think the internet has kind of brought out this monster where you're able to reach a lot of people, and the majority of this calling people racist and sexist, people do not agree with it. But you can reach an audience, and it gets pulled out, and then it becomes a big deal.
It's a flashy word. You can just throw it in any sentence, and instantly somebody's going to want to read it, you know, as opposed to the truth, which is boring.
Yes, that's true. The truth
is
very boring.
It's like the tabloid generation, the whole, like, TMZ frustrates me more than anything, just that people get paid and people enjoy watching stalkers.
I mean, there's a reason why. It's not because, like, everyone knows TMZ is garbage. But they're successful because people want to hear it. It has a market for it. It's doing very well. It sells a lot of advertising. It's probably one of the most watched shows on television in that time slot anyways. You know, people, as much as we complain about it, people watch it.
Yeah, you know, it's like one of those things that, I mean, it's not my cup of tea. My mom loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves reality shows too. It's just like, I don't know.
There's enough real.
There's like real human drama going on everywhere. I don't need to see manufactured human drama on TV like that.
Dude, every girlfriend I've ever had, which has not been many, but everyone that I have has watched Kardashians. And smart, like otherwise brilliant, well, brilliant stretching, capable members of society who have jobs, who read books, they still want to see what these tramps are doing. It blows my mind.
I feel like it's like almost like a walk into somebody else's shoes, or, you know, make them feel better about themselves. You know, like, oh, look how dysfunctional they are. At least we're not that dysfunctional.
Yeah, and I think
even
women
with all that money, they're not that happy. You know, that type of
women are like that too. They're catty and they like to see drama, which is funny because every chick says that they're not drama, and of course we know that any chick who says they're not drama are the biggest drama queens on the planet.
That's like saying a nod at the end of something, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
definitely. Justin Kupo's joining me. We're talking, I guess, comedy right now. I never have a plan for these things. I kind of just do them. Where did you grow up?
Here, or Clearwater.
Clearwater?
Yeah. My my whole family's from Philly, though.
Okay.
So
Were you born in Philly or born down
here? No, I was born down here.
I got you. My family's from Upper Darby.
Really?
Which, yeah, just outside of there. My mom moved here when she was 9, I believe.
Right.
And, yeah.
So you still got family up there?
Yeah, but, like, not any I would talk to.
Right.
Like, extended family that probably don't even know I'm alive.
Right.
I wanted to do the I got bar mitzvah thing at 13 and just send them out invitations knowing they wouldn't be able to show up and then get money.
Right.
But I was even semi-ethical as a 13-year-old, and I didn't have their addresses, so I ended up not doing that.
Those two things are usually the biggest deterrents.
Definitely, yeah. You got to have the addresses at the very least. So you grew up down here. Where'd you go to high school?
Pinellas Park.
Okay. How was that experience for you? What was high school like?
Good. I played a lot of sports, so that kind of was like all I did in high school. I should have studied more. But, yeah.
What did you play?
Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a goalie.
Oh, right on. How about those ladies, huh? Ladies World Cup champions.
I feel like if it was the men reaching the semifinal, people would be losing their minds.
But yeah.
Women actually win it, and it's like, oh, yeah. It's like a golf clap.
Congratulations, ladies. You're the men of soccer. Good for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Grow a beard, and then we'll talk.
That's right. No, it was cool to see that, though. They won 3. I think they're the leaders now in championships, too. Or
yeah,
they're tied for first or something like that. So good for them, and
it'll be a good boost in youth soccer.
Definitely,
more girls. Will be
There's like
into it.
Soccer camps now, isn't there? Like the biggest one in the nation's in Bradenton or Brandon?
IMG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where all the kids play now. They're breeding the next breed of superstar.
I played there once, and that place is crazy. They have like schedules posted on the wall. It's like 7 a.m. eat breakfast, 8:30 training session, 9:30. Mm-hmm. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. So you didn't really, did you pursue soccer like after school or just play kind of in school?
Growing up, I thought I was going to do it. But as I got older, I realized it'd be more of a pipe dream. And then I got too old to join clubs, so I kind of just stopped playing.
They have. You can join, like, rec clubs down here.
Yeah, I was trying to find some, but, like, the ones that I found didn't look too legitimate, or, like, the registration was weird, so. But, yeah, I got to get back into it, because I'm getting out of shape, and
I know, man. Trust me. I feel you there. It's hard to, I was never in shape, though, really.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever really in shape. I was more able to run 10 feet without getting winded before.
Yeah. So you played soccer. Did you play anything else in school?
I was kicker on the football team for one year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right on.
That was the most popular I've ever been.
Yeah.
People I didn't know came up to me and were just, hey, good game.
Yeah.
People, administrators I didn't talk to my entire high school career, suddenly knew me on a first-name basis and high-fiving me. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I played for about 2 weeks my junior year.
Did you have a career-ending injury?
No, just didn't want to do it anymore. Well, it was brutal because at the time we were remodeling our house at home, so I was living out of a hotel, and then I'd have to go help out every now and then on the house because my stepdad did it himself.
Right.
So I was doing that, and it was just exhausting, man. It was like 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock every night.
Yeah, and you go hard.
And you, yeah, I was completely out of shape, never really worked out before in my entire life. So I was just completely unprepared for what football would actually be. I kind of thought you'd just be out for an hour, kind of hang out with your buddies,
right,
and then you go home and see you tomorrow. Oh. But it was not like that. They took it seriously. And we stunk, too. Our team was bad.
Where'd you go?
Largo.
Really? Largo usually is a powerhouse.
They are now. When they changed districts and remapped those districts, and it became about 80% black, that's when we got good.
Didn't they get in trouble for, like, poaching kids from other counties?
Yeah, I think they did.
Anything to win.
Yeah. But, yeah, now they're pretty good. I don't know if they're still good or not. They're leveling off. I know Coach Rod took off because he was for illnesses or something like that. He resigned. And now Marcus Pascal took over at Largo. He was a he graduated a year before I did, and he played for the Eagles and the Falcons for a little while.
Really?
Yeah. And now he's back here coaching. So wish them the best of luck. I don't know what's going on. I went to a game like 2006 when they played Aquinas.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
And I felt so weird. I had like my blue and gold sock on, and I was like, I'm 20. I shouldn't be here. This is bizarre. And they ended up getting slaughtered.
Yeah, that was a bad game. That was crazy. People were, like, charging for parking and, like, scalping tickets for that game. Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's all the Aquinas people, man. They're all that's where Chris Carter's kid went. And
they're hardcore. But they're, like, nation-ranked, like,
yeah,
number one
or number two. Yeah, every
year. Like, Jesuit.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's where Chris Carter's kid went, and he was a freak. He was so big and so tall. He dwarfed all the other kids. And I remember Largo held on, too. They were up 13-3 at half, I remember. And I was like, oh, my God, they're going to do this. And then they came out the second half and just mollywopped them. I don't know what they did. Made some sort of adjustment.
The good teams do.
Yeah. And I remember they paid to have the grass resodded because they didn't want to play on Largo's crappy field.
So really? They did all the cheese?
Yeah. They paid like $40,000 or something to have it resodded.
That's a private school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Down in, I think, Miami. Justin Kupo is joining me today on the Homemade Broadcast. What else, Justin? What else can we talk about? They're just going to put it on you. You run the interview.
Uh-oh.
No.
Where are my note cards?
Yeah, I should write stuff down, like questions to ask. So what kind of made you want to try comedy out? What was the final straw?
You ever listen to Mark Maron's podcast?
Sure.
I started listening to it, like, really heavily. And then I just kept hearing all these stories, and I was like, man, this sounds great. And it was always in the back of my mind, but I was like, I don't think I'd ever get up on stage, and, you know, all the normal fears. And then I had a friend who started working with me, and he was, he'd been doing it for a little while. And he was like, he told me, and I was like, really, man? I was thinking about getting into it. And then he goes, well, I'll bring you out to an open mic, and you'll try it.
Who's a friend?
His name's Ollie.
Does he still do it?
I think he's retired.
Uh-huh.
He's like on hiatus.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he was pretty big in the local scene a few years back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so he was just like, he took me out to an open mic, and then I watched it, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. Funny thing is, I wrote my entire set the morning before I did it. Like, I hadn't written any jokes.
That was your first time writing, too? Just kind of...
Yeah, it was weird. It was just like I wasn't even trying to write. I was just, like, walking around, and then, like, this joke popped into my head, and I was like, okay, maybe there's something there. And I wrote it down, and then, like, I wrote down, like, 10 or 11 jokes, and I went and did them that night, and about 4 of them were decent. I think one of them I still do.
The only person who said, like, oh, I killed the first time was Cam Bertrand.
I can see him killing the first time, though.
He's really good.
I didn't see him in the beginning. How long has he been doing it?
Well, I've only known Cam probably, I don't remember what he said. Not that long, obviously. Maybe a year or two, maybe? Maybe 2 years?
2 years probably about, sounds about right.
Yeah. But he said he did it for the first time, and then the guy who was running the open mic was like, hey, do you want to do this showcase, like, right afterwards? So he's just good on stage. He knows what's
good. Yeah, he's kind of a natural. The stage, yeah.
So, yeah, Cam, but everyone else is like, I did terrible. But you say you didn't do bad.
I did good enough to justify doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know.
What do you get out of it? Like, what's your, when you're done and you put up the mic on the mic stand, like, what's your feelings?
it's like, it's, this sounds cheesy, but it's like the biggest high. It's just like you're so jacked that you want, you could like run around the building four times and still have energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like pretty much as soon as you step off stage, if you have a good set, you want to go right back up and just keep the laughs going.
Yeah.
It's weird because like when you, like the day after or something, you have to go back to being a normal person. It's completely different, you know. It's just not, it's like you're a superhero or something.
Yeah, you hit a lot of open mics, though. How many are you doing a week?
I'm trying to do four, five some weeks.
That's a good number. That's the men from the boys or, you know, right. Women from the ladies thing is you got to do it, I think, four or five times a week is what people are saying, which is crazy. I'm a very casual performer.
Right.
So if I have something that's bothering me or stuff that I've written down, I can't sit and write new stuff all the time. And I don't want to do the same stuff all the time. That's one of the things that bugs me personally about open mic comedy is that people have been running the same bits for a year since I've been doing this thing. And that's what open mic's fine.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you do get a little tired of telling the same jokes, especially if you're seeing the same people, you know.
Right.
Some mics you'll just see the same five comedians and you're telling bits that they've heard
the
40 times.
Very polished 5 minutes that they have. It's super good.
Yeah.
But they're not getting any reaction because that's what a lot of people have told me too. Like my friends and stuff that come to like, I'm sorry, I just can't watch the same guys do the same bits. I get it. I understand. And it's not that, you know, they don't get much reaction and it's not because it's bad. It's just because people have heard it 20 times now.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are regulars to these places that, you know, like they're at bars and stuff and people go in there every Monday or Tuesday and to hear you every week. And
yeah,
that's why, like, whenever I hit a mic, I like to try at least one new joke, and then that way I'll feel better about my set no matter what.
Yeah,
because then I'm progressing in some way.
That's what it, I mean, it's constantly renewing yourself. Remember the stuff that works for a showcase or something, but I think open mics you should be doing new stuff. I mean, but see, I don't know what I'm talking about either, so.
I mean, if there's a big crowd, the temptation's there to just fall back on what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really committed to trying the new stuff and you really want to do it, then you got to do it because you're not going to get the same reaction anywhere else or a place you think you would do it.
Yeah.
You know, like if there's a room full of comedians and you think you'll do it there, you're not going to get any reaction because they won't laugh at the good stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's really hard to make comics laugh. It's they've grown accustomed to not doing so, whether they want to or not. I think a lot of the times there's that pettiness, competitive.
Well, because if a joke's funny, then it's, you know, screw you for thinking of it.
Yeah, I wish I would have thought of that. Yeah. So do you have any social media or anything?
Yeah, I got a Facebook and a Twitter and an Instagram.
Give those out so people can find you.
I think Facebook is just Justin Cupo.
C-U-P-P-O?
C-U-P-O.
C-U-P-O.
Instagram is the Justin Cupo Company.
Okay.
And Twitter is Cupo, a.k.a. Justin.
Oh, I like that. Very good.
Most people call me by my last name, so.
Yeah, you have one of those names where it just flows off the tongue. It's
it's kind of weird. Punchy. Like when some people call me by my first name, I'm like, what's wrong?
What did I do, Mom? Yeah, no, that's a man's voice. All right, good. You can find me at facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast, facebook.com/radiosaintpete. Twitter is home_made_man. Catch Justin Friday, the 17th of July at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. Free admission, though we don't charge a thing because we want you to come see these people. And I'm going to see if I can get maybe Angelo's to provide some pizza for
there
that
as
well.
Good pizza.
It is good pizza. I love their URL, saintpizza.com.
That's great.
Can you
that
believe
makes me
nobody,
love their pizza even more.
Isn't that the best? Yeah. How did no pizza place here get that before them?
I know. I'd be like, man, this is so obvious.
All right. Justin, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
And download iTunes, Stitcher, everywhere podcasts are found. Just search for The Homemade Broadcast. My name's Will Kuntz. Talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye.